WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. These are bad times for the image of American cops. We have corruption scandals in several major cities, including New York, New Orleans, and Philadelphia. And of course, there are the Mark Furman tapes. How does a rogue cop manage to stay on the force? The story of one rogue cop in Philadelphia has been told in a three-part series that concluded today in the Philadelphia Inquirer by Mark Fazlola and my guest Mark Bowden. Back in the winter of 1991, an innocent Temple University student, Arthur Colbert, filed a complaint against Officer John Baird and his partner after they arrested him, beat him up, and illegally searched his apartment. That complaint opened an FBI review that led to a wider investigation of the Philadelphia police force, which is still underway. Officer Jack Baird is now waiting to be sentenced.
Arthur Colbert's complaint led to an internal investigation and got, ultimately, three police officers fired. The police department has argued since, and the mayor of the city, that, in fact, this case is an illustration of how effectively the department polices its own ranks. I think what we discovered when we looked at it very carefully is that that wasn't true, and that in fact the department is just notoriously poor at policing its own ranks, and the only reason Arthur Colbert got justice is because they beat him up about a week before the Rodney King videotape in Los Angeles provoked a kind of national outcry against police abuses, and the Attorney General instructed the FBI throughout the country to begin reviewing police brutality cases. So Arthur Colbert, it turns out, was the 23rd person to complain about Jack Baird to the Philadelphia Police Department, and he's the first person whose complaint was sustained and the first person whose complaint led to any police being disciplined.
I want to hear the story of Arthur Colbert and what happened to him. He is a Detroit social worker. He was a student at Temple University at the time that he was harassed by Philadelphia police. Where was he when he was stopped by Jack Baird and his partner?
Well, Arthur had a hot date in North Philadelphia with a woman he had met only once before. And he was off looking for her house in an area of North Philadelphia, which is not far from Temple University's campus, but which is a really bad neighborhood. I mean, it's a drug-infested, decaying, poor black neighborhood in North Philadelphia, which is very aggressively patrolled by the police department. He got out of his car to look for this woman's house, as it happens, in the exact block where these two police officers were looking for a man who fit his general description, driving a small blue car, which Arthur drove. And so they jumped to the conclusion that this fellow was the drug pusher that they were looking for, picked him up and locked him in a van, drove him to an abandoned house, beat him, and held a gun to his head, demanding that he admit that he was this drug dealer. Arthur was, of course, terrified and was convinced that they were actually going to kill him. Eventually, they took him back out in handcuffs, took him back to the police station, and let him sit there, and went out to his apartment, which isn't even in Philadelphia. They drove out to Cheltenham, which is in a suburban area over which they have no jurisdiction, let themselves into his apartment and searched it illegally, and came back, I think, with the conclusion that, in fact, this really was just an innocent Temple student. And then they let him go with a threat that if he ever showed up in the neighborhood again, that they would kill him.
And what did Colbert decide to do?
Well, he was shaken up, obviously, and very, very angry. And he went back to his apartment and called his girlfriend and had a long talk with her about what had happened. And then he called his father in Detroit. His father had been a policeman and firefighter at the airport out in Detroit. And his father just insisted that the right thing to do would be to file a complaint. Arthur didn't have any faith that filing a complaint would amount to anything. But he was so indignant that he felt, I'm going to do something. I'm going to keep telling people this story until something happens. And I don't want anyone to accuse me later of not having filed a formal complaint. So the very next morning, I think it was pretty courageous on his part, he went right back into the district where he'd been beaten and threatened the night before and walked in and filed a formal complaint.
Now, Baird, the officer, was fired shortly after this complaint was filed.
2 months later, right.
And then what happened? What was...
Well,
what was the next step?
The way the process works in Philadelphia is once a police officer is suspended with intent to fire, and then they can fire him within 30 days, they're allowed to appeal to an arbitration board, which has been complained about vigorously by the police department brass and by the city administration because it's unbelievably lenient. Nearly everyone who goes before the arbitration board gets his job back with full back pay. So Jack Baird filed his appeal. But what was different about this case was that because of the Rodney King beating and because of the interest that the federal authorities had taken in police corruption cases and police brutality, the FBI was observing this process and was actively investigating on their own.
Now, what was the FBI's strategy in investigating the Baird case?
Well, there's something called the Garrity Rule, which says that in order to indict a police officer for a crime like this, their testimony about what happened can't be coerced. They can't be threatened in any way to give a confession. So they had to let the process go forward in hopes that Jack Baird would take the witness stand under oath and lie about what had happened. And then if they could subsequently prove that he had lied, they could indict him for federal crimes, and at which they subsequently did, and they're able to use him to, you know, get inside the Philadelphia Police Department and investigate abuses all over the city.
What are some of the lies Jack Baird told?
Well, where do you start? I mean, initially, Baird smartly, I think, realized that this internal affairs investigation within the police department was different than others, because in the 22 previous cases where there had been complaints filed against him, he had always freely answered questions from internal affairs, and at the end, no matter what the evidence, the case was always dismissed. In this case, he refused to answer any questions, and he instead waited until his appeal, whereupon he got on the stand. First, he hired a woman to come in and lie to back up his story that, in fact, Arthur Colbert was a drug pusher. He paid this woman's rent for her apartment for a year, gave her money, and got all of her, she was a prostitute, so he got all outstanding warrants against her expunged. And in return, she got on the stand and fluently lied about how this fellow, Arthur Colbert, was in fact a drug dealer named Hakim, and how she had pointed them out to the police. And then Baird's sergeant got on the stand and lied to protect him. And then Baird himself got up there and told a story that very cleverly covered all of the facts that investigators had gathered against him, with innocent explanations, with mitigating factors or whatever, so that ultimately the attorney, or it's not really attorney, the paralegal who was representing the city trying to keep Baird off of the force, concluded that he was going to lose the case, because ultimately Baird had presented a pretty strong argument that all he had done was what a regular cop would do.
I want to say here, too, that you describe him as having represented himself during his testimony as a victim of the Rodney King story, because the department was getting politically correct after the Rodney King verdict, and that's why they fired Baird.
Right. His argument was that here this guy walks in off the street, he's really a drug dealer, but he's angry and he makes up a story about me, and he says that I held a gun to his head, and he says that I pushed him around, neither of which I did. This is Baird's story. And they're taking it real seriously now because of the Rodney King incident. They're out to get cops.
So Baird lies, cops lie to defend him, Baird has bought off a prostitute who lies to defend him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Then the FBI intervenes. What does the FBI do?
Well, the counsel for the city was so appalled by the testimony of this prostitute when she came in. To him, he's handled hundreds and hundreds of these cases, and he can spot people who are obviously lying, and he knew that she was. The FBI had asked him to forward to them transcripts of the hearings in the Baird case, and so when he sent the transcript of this woman's testimony, he pointed out to them how obvious he thought her lies were. So the FBI paid her a visit, and they explained to her what the penalties were for perjury, and basically she saw the light very quickly that it was whatever money Jack Baird was paying her was not sufficient to get herself in really serious trouble. So she came clean to the FBI. They then wired her up and sent her to talk to Jack Baird at his off-duty job at a bar up in Northeast Philadelphia. And she got him talking about their arrangement, which, of course, once the FBI had Barrett on tape admitting that he was involved in this conspiracy to perjure, she then handed him a business card from one of the FBI agents, and he hit the roof. I mean, he knew that he had been caught.
But the story, the way you describe it, indicates that if the FBI hadn't intervened, that Baird probably would have gotten reinstated on the force,
well, in fact,
with back pay.
In fact, the sergeant who was known to have lied to protect Baird and was identified as a liar in the police's internal affairs report and was subsequently fired got his job back with full back pay after his appeal. And Baird lied for him at his arbitration hearing.
Now, there had been 22 previous complaints against Baird. He'd gotten off on all of them. You saw his evaluations.
Mm-hmm.
What were the evaluations like? What did they say about him?
Well, they were just extremely favorable. He was held in a very high regard. He was called an inspiration to the other men in the unit, an excellent officer, somebody who deserved more praise than they could give him. It was just the highest possible praise from his supervisors.
Was there any pattern in the 22 complaints against him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, going back 7 or 8 years before the incident with Arthur Colbert, there were a stream of people coming in saying he had racially insulted them, he had beaten them, he had stolen money from them, he'd held guns to their head. He had a history of telling exactly the same story to justify breaking into people's houses without a search warrant. There are certain mitigating circumstances that allow cops to do this. And he had a pat story that was so predictable that one of the public defenders in Philadelphia actually went and got the transcripts and was able to show that he had told verbatim the same story in dozens of different cases, which prompted a judge to order the DA's office to investigate Jack Baird. In other words, Jack Baird was notorious to virtually everyone who lived up in that police district, to the public defender's office, and was well known in the district attorney's office as being a rogue, dangerous cop. But within the police department, all he got were dismissed citizens' complaints and excellent ratings.
My guest is Mark Bowden, a reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He co-authored a 3-part series about one rogue cop in Philadelphia. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with reporter Mark Bowden, we're talking about the Philadelphia Inquirer series he co-authored on one rogue cop in Philadelphia. Now, you said that before you published your series that the mayor and the police commissioner in Philadelphia offered the Jack Baird case as an example of how good the Philadelphia police force was at policing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten any response from the city or from the Philadelphia police to your 3-part series, which concluded today?
No, we haven't yet. We expect to solicit some response before the week is out, but the story just finished today. I think that's actually one of the things I'm going to try to do today.
Now, what do you think this story says about the ability of the Philadelphia police to police themselves?
Well, I think it's just clear that they don't police themselves with any success. And in fact, I think that certain kinds of officers like Jack Baird, because they're so aggressive out on the street, they make so many arrests. Jack Baird was one of the busiest officers in the 39th District. He and including these other officers who were indicted with him, were the most active, aggressive cops on the street. So I think that there is an incentive within the police department, which was very concerned about its arrest rates and the numbers that they can gather showing how many people they've put away for dealing drugs in these high drug districts. There's a real incentive to ignore the possibility that these guys are abusing citizens' rights and they won't listen when people come in to complain. That, I think, and there's also this arbitration process makes it virtually impossible for the police department to consistently police itself.
The Internal Affairs Department of Philadelphia has investigated 575 allegations of police abuse in the previous 5 years, and I believe only 2 cases have resulted in disciplinary action.
That's right. Yeah, IAD has actually sustained something on the order of 10 of those 575, but then there's a process within the department before you get to the arbitration where you go to a review board, and a lot of times the review board will just overturn it. There's just an enormous bias within the department to protect police officers.
Now, what's the connection to this case that we've been discussing and the larger class action suit against the police in Philadelphia?
Well, after Arthur Colbert made his complaint and Jack Baird got caught by the FBI, he flipped and began talking to the FBI in order to get himself out of trouble, in order to mitigate what it promises to be a prison sentence by offering to turn in other cops who were doing the same thing that he was. In fact, Barrett has adopted this posture that he's being persecuted for actions and activities that are actually widespread throughout the police department. So he's been trying to make good on that claim by steering the FBI to officers now who are under investigation throughout North Philadelphia and in the police highway unit, which is the elite citywide patrol and investigative unit within the Philadelphia department. That has led, as I said, to a broadening investigation. And then each of these officers, Barrett himself accounted for well over 1,000 arrests over his 14 years on the police force. Every one of those arrests is now regarded with some degree of suspicion because he's admitted that he lied, that he framed people, that he obtained search warrants under false pretenses. So lawyers are lining up for all these people who have been sent to jail or convicted by a Jack Barrett arrest. There have since been 5 other officers indicted, so multiply that number, it begins to grow exponentially. So right now, the city is looking at literally thousands of criminal convictions for which they can no longer tell which is what's the truth and what's the lie. And so in an instance like that, they have no choice but to overturn convictions against people because there's a presumption of innocence. Then each of these people is entitled to come back and sue the city for false imprisonment, false arrest, and the line is just beginning to form.
Probably this means that some guilty people might go free.
That's right. And that's the flip side of this. This isn't just a problem for civil libertarians to get upset about, because many of the people among the thousands that I've just mentioned are in fact guilty of crimes. Some of them have long criminal records. But when you have a criminal justice system where you can no longer tell a lie from the truth, you can no longer tell a good arrest from a bad arrest because you can't trust the testimony of your law enforcement officers, you have to let them all go. And so as a consequence, in my opinion, most of the people who are going to benefit by either being released from prison or having convictions thrown out or being awarded money are people who are guilty of crimes.
The Arthur Colbert Jack Baird case, which you detail in your series on rogue cops, that happened under the watch of Willie Williams, who's
That's right.
since become the police commissioner in Los Angeles.
Yeah, there's an interesting link, you know, between these two cases. As I mentioned earlier, Colbert was, this happened to Arthur on February 24th of 1991, and he came in and filed his complaint on the 25th. 7 days later, Rodney King was beaten by 15 Los Angeles police officers, and that videotape, as I said, provoked this outcry against police abuse. The Attorney General ordered the FBI to begin looking at brutality cases all over the country. And at the same time, interestingly, Willie Williams was eyeing the top job in Los Angeles. He, in fact, had applied or would apply shortly for that job. And before the year was out, he was the Los Angeles police commissioner. So you had the FBI looking at Arthur Colbert's case, and you had a police commissioner who was suddenly highly sensitized to issues of police brutality. And I think that's why everyone in the 39th District certainly knew that Colbert's complaint was going to be handled a whole lot more aggressively and taken a lot more seriously than the previous 22 that had come through the door.
Is there a call for reform now within the Philadelphia police?
No. Actually, not a public one. I've heard from sources and policemen who I've interviewed in my work that, in fact, they are taking some steps to try to stop the sort of abuses that have gone on. For instance, when an officer like Barrett has 22 complaints filed against him over a 6 or 7 year period, you would think someone would begin to notice a pattern about this guy. And in each of these cases, if it boils down to the officer's word against the person who comes in and complains, the department is always going to believe the officer first. But when the 17th person comes through the door, it seems to me that the officer's word has to be held in a little bit of suspicion. So what they say they're going to do now is the captain from each district is going to be briefed on a regular basis by Internal Affairs about officers on his watch that have a problem so that they can become more aware of it.
Do you know how morale is now in the Philadelphia Police Department?
Well, it seems really bad. I mean, I think everyone I talk to, they feel like they're under siege. A number of other incidents have happened in the last few weeks in Philadelphia. In addition to this federal probe, there was the head of the department's racial sensitivity unit or whatever was fired for making a racist joke to one of his colleagues at a rally that was overheard by people on the street. We recently had an officer who was caught involved in a sexual act with a little boy in the back of a police van in a part of Philadelphia. So that made huge headlines. So it's just one thing after another in the past month or so. And I think the department feels like it's under siege.
What's the reaction of the good cops?
Well, I think most of them are outraged about the behavior of people like Baird and others, and they're worried that the public will perceive all cops as being out of control. Most of them will say they're delighted when these guys get caught and when they lose their jobs. But in fact, history shows that in most instances, even good cops tolerate bad cops in their midst. If there's a code that you don't turn in, cops don't arrest cops.
What's happened to Arthur Colbert? He's the man who filed the charge against Jack Baird, the charge that ended Baird's career and started the FBI investigation of the Philadelphia police.
Arthur did get his degree from college. He's back in Detroit, living in an apartment and working as a social worker. Ironically, he works as a drug abuse counselor for teenagers, the man who was accused of being a drug pusher here in Philadelphia. He's also an aspiring actor, and he's involved in an independent film production right now in Detroit. He sued the city after his arrest and settled for $25,000, which is a fraction of what his lawyers felt he could have gotten from the case. But Arthur told me that he was more interested in seeing these two cops punished, and when they were, for him, that was the end of it.
Mark Bowden, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Mark Bowden is a reporter with the Philadelphia Inquirer. He co-authored a three-part series on rogue cops. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.